You are tuning into the True North Church podcast. Our prayer is that you would be inspired and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True North Church, please visit us online at truenorthak.org.
Good morning, True North Church. How's everybody doing this morning? I am so glad you are here. I was thinking about this when we were worshiping. I love that we can come on a Sunday morning and gather together and worship the Lord together, look at His Word together, high-five one another. And so why don't you welcome yourself to church? Can you do that? Yeah, you're allowed to cheer for yourself. Also, during this gathering, we stream to an online community around our state and in different facilities. And so can we welcome them as well if you're joining us online? So glad you're here. If you don't know me, my name's Rob. I'm one of the pastors on staff, and I get the privilege of sharing the message today. And we're in the third part of a series we call Like a Good Neighbor. Like a Good Neighbor, State Farm and True North are there. Okay, so just for copyright reasons, I think I have to say that. No, I don't know. But like a good neighbor, we as a church, we want to be a good neighbor in our city. We want to, this series is about how do we do that? How do we equip and teach you to be a good neighbor where God has put you and God has called you? And I was thinking about this, that unfortunately, the world doesn't always see the church as a good neighbor. We have historically done some things that maybe not us as True North, but I'm gonna generalize here, the church as a whole. We have done some stuff that maybe has not given us the reputation of being a good neighbor. Other times, we've tried to do everything as well as we can, and people still just don't like us. Jesus said some of them won't, and so they don't perceive us as a good neighbor. And so this series is about how do we live in a way that we know we are being good neighbors, so that the gospel can go out, so that people can hear the message that we have. In fact, you saw the really incredible announcement up there about Easter. Easter is coming. How many of you are ready for chocolate? Yes, good. We got some chocolate fans there. Easter is coming. I was thinking about that when I heard that announcement this morning. Are you ready for Easter? No, I'm not ready for Easter. I'm ready for spring. I'm ready for the snow to be gone, but am I really ready for Easter? But this Easter, as with every Easter, we use it as an incredible opportunity to let our city know that we love them, to let them know that church is here, to let them know that Easter's there, because a lot of people will come to church twice a year, Christmas and Easter. And so this Easter, we're going to do some more things again just to remind people that the church is here, that we're in Fairbanks. A couple years ago, we bought two pink mopeds and a bunch of bunny costumes. And we put people in those bunny costumes on those mopeds and we drove them around town just to remind people, hey, Easter's coming. This year, we're going to do that if the road conditions are safe. If the snow is gone, how many of you might not remember this, but as pastors, we remember this, 18 inches of snow greeted us last Easter. Yeah, no, don't cheer for that. We're not cheering for that. But again, Easter, the reason I'm highlighting this is because I want to encourage you guys to be thinking, how can I be a good neighbor? Because I want to invite people to church. I want to let people know that the church is here and that we love them and that we're for them. And that's what this whole series is about. By the way, sneak preview, I won't tell you what it is, but the week before Easter, we're doing something new this year to, again, get our city's attention. And we're super excited about it. So the week before Easter, just keep an eye out around town. And when you start to see things and you'll know what it is, say, yeah, that's my church. We'd love to see you all at Easter. But we want to be a good neighbor as a church. We want to be there. And I think part of this is recognizing first and foremost that the place we are living, the people that live around us, we are put there because God has put us there. Now, some of you are going, no, 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 we're in Fairbanks. You don't know that. God didn't put me in Fairbanks. God didn't put anybody in 50 below. Right? Sometimes that's our attitude, but we need to get the right attitude so that our neighbors know that we are for them, that we love them. In fact, some of you might know a gentleman, very famous, named Mahatma Gandhi. He's famous historically. He led a revolution, a peaceful revolution in India. He's called the father of modern India. But what some of you might not know is that for as a young man, he was a lawyer and he lived in South Africa for a number of years. And during that season, he contemplated Christianity. And he looked into Christianity, the teachings of Christianity, and he came to a conclusion that I think, it saddens me, but I think a lot of people come to. And this is what Mahatma Gandhi said of Christianity. He said, "I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." And yeah, that hurts a little bit. Because I've been that Christian that is unlike my Christ. But I want to be a good neighbor. I want to be a neighbor that people look and say, I think Jesus might live next door to me. And that's the whole reason of this series, is how do we be a good neighbor so that when people look at Christ and they look at his people, they see him. And they say, yes, I want to receive that. And so we're going to look at that today. We're going to look at some of the different ways in which we can do that. But again, to first recognize that you are in the right neighborhood, let's look at a couple of verses out of Acts chapter 17. And this is the Apostle Paul. He's on one of his missions, journeys. He's in a city, and he's talking to these people that are seeking the Lord, that are seeking God and truth. And he comes across, and he gives them this message. He says this to them in Acts chapter 17, verse 24. "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man." So he's saying, there's a God, this God made everything. How many of you agree that there's a God that made everything? And then he goes on to say this. He says, "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth." All the face of the earth includes Alaska in winter. Just make note that. And he says this, "having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place." In other words, God determined your dwelling place in Fairbanks. God determined your dwelling place in the army barrack that you're in, or the neighborhood that you're in, or the dry cabin that you're in, if you're one of those crazy people up here. God determined that. I don't know if God actually determines a dry cabin or not. That might be your choice. But God has determined your boundary is in this area right now. And he's determined the times allotted for you. Some of you are here because Uncle Sam has brought you here for 3 years. Well, that's your time to dwell here. Some of you are born and raised in Fairbanks. You're going to live here your entire life. That's your period of time. But whatever period of time and whatever type of dwelling you live in, we need to recognize that it is God who has determined this is the place and the season for you to be a good neighbor. And that word determined literally comes from an old Greek word that is protasso. And I don't know if my pronunciation's right, but it simply means this. It means before your station. In other words, before you came up here, God determined that you would be here. God determined you would be here. And I don't know about you, but I take great encouragement from that. That Fairbanks is not an accident. I met my wife more than 20 years ago. She was raised in Fairbanks from the time she was 2. I feel a little bit deceived because I met her in Australia. And I fell in love with her in Australia. And nobody told me that God had determined that in 2017 I would be moving to Fairbanks, Alaska. Nobody told me that when I met her. We were like in Australia. And if you've ever been to Australia, you say, Lord, you should determine Australia for everybody. But I'm so glad that God has brought us as a family back to Fairbanks, that this is the place we call home. This is the place where I know God has said you are to be a good neighbor here in this place. And so often, I think as believers, we need to make sure we hold the right view of the place God has determined we live. Whether you're here for 3 years or for 30 years or for who knows how many years. And so, in fact, there's a father of Christianity, so to speak, a very old theologian named Augustine, who wrote a book called The City of God. And in this book, he looks at this concept that the church, believers, are what we would call a city of God. But we are a city within another city, and that is the city of man. And if you've got your worship guide here, by the way, there's some fill in the blanks and you can follow along, and we're starting to get into some of those. But this idea is that the city of God, us believers, the church, we live within a city of man. And how many of you know that the city of man and the city of God are a little bit different? We've got a little bit different perspectives. We've got a little bit different values sometimes. We've got a little bit different culture in how we do things and how we approach things. And because we're different, we have to make sure we, especially the city of God, view the city of man correctly, the way God wants us to. It's very easy to look at someone that's different than you and not want to be with them, right? It's very easy. I don't know if you've ever had the chance to travel to a totally different culture. It's very easy to judge that culture, to call out that culture, to wish you were somewhere else. And I think as believers, we need to be careful that as the city of God, living in the city of man, we have the right perspective that God wants us to have for the city around us. So we're going to look this morning at four different views that we can hold as the city of God towards the city of man. And then we're going to look at one of those, by the way, spoiler alert, one of those is the correct view. And then we're going to look at how we can make sure we have that correct view. And as we go through these, I'm going to ask you to do a little self-assessment. We're not going to ask for a show of hands, but I want you to be honest with yourself. Is there some areas you're holding an incorrect view of the city of man, an incorrect view of your neighbors? And if there is, we're just going to get it right. And we're just going to say, today I'm no longer going to hold that view. Today I'm no longer going to hold that attitude towards the city of man. I want to hold the right one. But as we're going through this and we're talking a little bit about what these views are, would you just be honest with yourself? Maybe let God be honest with you. If God wants to say, hey, you've got that view a little bit, maybe would you just be willing to say, I need to change that view? Because we want to have the correct view. So we're going to jump in here. And we're going to look at four ways we can view the city of man. The first way is this. We are the city of God in the city of man. This is a posture simply of location. It's a geographical coincidence that I am in Fairbanks. I just happen to be here. The problem is that if we hold this posture that we're just in Fairbanks, it's a coincidence. Look, a lot of us would say, God, it's an accident that I'm in Fairbanks, right? If we're being honest, you know, my employer sent me to the wrong place. The Army sent me to the wrong place. I've heard that the Army sometimes gets to list like three locations they'd like to go to, and you never get those. And so some of you might be going, it's an accident that I'm here, but it's not just a geographical coincidence. The problem is if we see ourselves as simply in the city, it creates or produces in us apathy towards the city. In other words, we don't care about the city. We don't care if the city prospers. We don't care what the city does. We are just basically, I'm here for a certain amount of time and then I'm getting out. We spend most of our time thinking about what's next, thinking about the next place, thinking about how we can get out. If all we do is see ourselves as merely in the city rather than a part of the city. You know, the goal is the city of God. The reason God has created us as a city within a city is to reach the city of man, to love the city of man, to see the city of man come to know Christ. And if you are apathetic towards the city of man, you will have no desire to reach it. You will have no desire to share with it the truth that you know. It will simply be a place to be, not a place to live. And so we don't want to have a view that says we're simply the city of God in the city of man. The second view we can hold is this. We are the city of God and we are against the city of man. This is a posture of opposition. This is a viewpoint that says the church, the city of God, the people of God, we are above the people around us. We are better than them. Church good, city bad. That's what this view says. And I don't know about you, but I struggle to reach people in the right way that I don't think I like. And if we are in the city and if we're in the city of God and we see ourselves in opposition to the city of man, we are going to want to fight them, not to see them saved. We're going to be the disciples who say, oh, let's cast fire down on this city. And Jesus is going to go, guys, you don't know what you're talking about. Right? If we see ourselves in opposition, we won't reach our city. We won't want to. This viewpoint makes the city the enemy. And can I tell you that I think the single greatest, let me rephrase that. One of the greatest ways you can know if you are in opposition to the city is you use our common weapon of warfare, and that is complaining. If you are always complaining, it's too cold, it's too dark, Fairbanks doesn't have this, North Pole doesn't have this. How many of you are like, man, this is a restaurant I would love to see in Fairbanks, right? There's lots of restaurants we'd love to see in Fairbanks. But if you're always complaining about how the city does things, complaining about the school board's decisions, complaining about who's in charge, complaining about the traffic or the lights or whatever it might be, if you're always complaining, you are probably living with the viewpoint that says, I am against my city. I'm against this place that God has called me to be the city of God in this city of man. And so if you find yourself complaining a lot, you might want to say, hey, why do I complain? And it's often because there's this view that says, I am against the city, I'm above the city, or I'm not for the city. The third viewpoint we can have is that we are the city of God and we are of the city of man. This is a posture of sameness. Big theological word there. I couldn't think of a better one. I was in Thailand a number of years ago, and they had this saying, and I thought it was hilarious. They said, oh, same, same, but different. Everything was same, same, but different. Oh, is this Coca-Cola? Yeah, yeah, same, same, but different. And you knew it wasn't really Coca-Cola. Is this chicken? Same, same, but different. Okay, I don't even want to ask what it is at that point. And they have this mindset, and sometimes as Christians, we can have the mindset that we're the same, same, but different, a little bit different, but really we're so worried about being the same. We're so worried. We just, instead of reaching the world has reached us. Instead of us influencing the world has influenced us. And here's what happens. When you have the posture that we're all the same, we lose the power of the gospel. We lose the power of our witness because we're no different. They would say, why would I try your Jesus? Your life is no different than mine. Why would I try going to your church? Your life is no different than mine. If we as a city of God look the same as the city of man, they will not come to us when they need Jesus because they see no difference in us. And so this posture produces compromise to achieve a false peace, to achieve an acceptance. But the problem with that acceptance, and again, we're not going the other way, that is to be against them, but to be fully accepted by them, unfortunately means we've become so much like them that we've lost the power of our witness. And so we don't want to be a church in the city that simply says, I'm here for a time, but I'm not really living here. We don't want to be a church that says, I'm against the city and judging it and opposing it. And we don't want to be a church that says, I'm of the city, I'm the same as them. We want to have the fourth viewpoint, and it's this, that the city of God is for the city of man. We are for our city. If you look at our values here, you'll see a bunch of them, that we are a church for our city, a church for our state, a church for global missions. We want the city to know that we are here for them, that we love them. It's a posture of seeking good things for our city. It is not a posture of saying to the city, hey, whatever you think, whatever you do is right. But it is a posture of saying we're here for you. We're a part of your community. We're here for the students. We're here for the military community. We're here for the long-term Fairbanksans who don't know that 20 below is not t-shirt weather. We're here for our city. And this posture creates a true desire to care for our city. And when we care for our city, we will want to see Jesus come into our city. You know, I think sometimes when we get the city of God, city of man, often as the city of God, our mentality can be we need to change the city. But that's not quite the right mentality. Jesus didn't come and said, hey, go out and change the world. He said, go out and tell the world that I can save it. And the mentality that we should have as the city of God, the people of God, the church in Fairbanks and North Pole and all the surrounding communities is, city, we're for you because God wants to save you. It's not just about changing you. It's not just about changing your schedule so you show up in church on Sunday, or changing the way you think about things so that the way I think about things is the same way you think about things. It's about seeing God save them from the way they think about things. It's about seeing God save them from the things they give themselves to. And you know what? Here's the amazing thing is when Jesus saves someone, he changes them. When he saves them, the desire is there to change them. But can I tell you, the city of man doesn't want to listen to the city of God if they think we're just simply here because we have to be. or if they think that we are against them, or if we or if they think that we are the same as them. But they will want to hear about God when they know that we are here for them, that we care for them, that we love them, that we invest in them. And there's a story, and we're going to look at a passage here about how to, that kind of shows us how to do this. In the Old Testament, the people of God were the nation of Israel. And every once in a while, they stopped being very good people of God, and he had to send them into exile, or other enemies would come and kind of correct their way of thinking. It was a very kind of political thing. And we have a prophet named Jeremiah who comes into this season when the people of God are in exile in the area of Babylon, or to the nation, the power of Babylon at the time. And Jeremiah brings them a word because they were thinking to themselves, okay, we're in Babylon. This isn't our home. God wants us to be over there, so we're not going to be the people God wants us to be. And Jeremiah brings them a word and says, no, you are supposed to be the people God wants you to be. And I think for us, this idea that we are the city of God in the city of man, we need to be careful that we don't have that mentality that Israel did that says, let's hunker down. You know, this world is different than us. This is not our eternal home. There are some days when you go to work and you might think, man, everyone around me is different than me. They view the world different than me. They value things different than me. And sometimes the temptation is to go, I just can't wait to get back with my Christian friends and we'll all just huddle up together and we'll make it. We'll make it till we die. And then we'll be good because we'll be in heaven. But God wants to say to his people, no, you're the city of God. And I don't want you to just live thinking, man, I'm just going to make it till I get back home. I want you to be the city of God here. And so how do we do that? And Jeremiah gave this word. It's in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 4 to 7. I think it's going to be up here for you. And out of this passage, we're going to look at how, what we can learn about how they lived their lives, how God instructed them to live their lives so that they were the city of God for the city of man. And it says this, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem. Jerusalem represents the city of God, and I've sent you to Babylon, which represents in this metaphor the city of man. And here's the thing. They thought they were exiles. God says, no, no, no. I sent you there. I determined that place. Some of you might feel like you're an exile in Fairbanks. And God says, no, no, no. I sent you there. I determined that that would be your place. Maybe for a few years. Maybe for a long time. Maybe I determined it when you were falling in love with someone in Australia where it's warm all year. But I determined you would be here now. You know, if we don't want to see the place we live in Fairbanks as just our address. We want to see our address as our assignment from God. God has sent you to the address you live at. God has sent you to the place you work. God has sent you to the people that you are a neighbor to. And he goes on. He says, I've sent them to this place. And he tells them this. He gives them these instructions. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage. That's the part that any of us who have daughters go, wait, what? Have you met the Yahoos that are out there? No. We're moving right along. We got to give our sons means we got to give our daughters as well. He goes on and says, multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city, which is the city of man, where I have sent you, the city of God, into exile. And pray the Lord on, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in the city of man's welfare, you will find the city of God's welfare. And he gives them this instruction to basically, guys, no, you don't hunker down. You don't hide away. You increase. You multiply, not just in numbers, but in influence. And the city of God is for the city of man and sees the city of man become the city of God. And he gives them four clear instructions we're going to look at kind of quickly today. The first one is this. And we have phrased these things as choices because all of them are choices. You see, God has determined your time here, but you have to make the choice to be a good neighbor. Being a good neighbor, especially in Alaska. You know, I just went on vacation, spent a couple weeks in the UK, and there everything is built super close together. Like, my buddy has an acre of land, and he's like, this property is huge. And I'm like, no, it's not. Like, that's tiny. So in Alaska in particular, we must make the choice to be a good neighbor, because it's not easy, because you can go months without seeing your neighbors. You can literally go months without seeing your neighbors. The only time you'll see them is when you maybe happen to wave at each other because you're both snow blowing your driveway that morning, right? So we have these four choices to make. The first one is this: choose to build. In other words, choose to establish your life here. I served for about 20 years with an organization where the average length of time that you stayed in one place was about 2.5 years. And something that often those of us that were in a place for longer than that had wrestled with was welcoming the new people, welcoming them into and building connections with them, because it was like, well, we know you're only going to be here for a time. And those new people, when they'd get there, we'd say, you got to get your kids in school. You've got to connect. You've got to build your life here, even if you think it's only for 2 years. And it's not literally, by the way, there's no realtor that's told us, hey, I love this message. Make sure you hand out my card. I'm not physically talking about building a home or buying a house, but build your life here. Decide how you want to live and say, I'm going to live here. Settle here. Don't be constantly saying, I'm saving up for the next place. I'm waiting till I go out of here before I invest, before I build, before I connect. Build your house here. And build with local materials. Right? I grew up on the west coast of Canada. Every house is built of wood because we have trees everywhere. Like I said, I just went over to the UK for 2 weeks and almost nothing is built of wood because they don't have trees. Everything there is built of stone and concrete because that's what they have. And so if you're in a place, you build your life, your house, your home out of local materials. When I first left Canada, I moved down to Australia. So I'm a kid who grows up in Canada. It's a little bit cold and rainy. We play ice hockey. I go down to Australia and I begin to embrace and build into my life the things of Australia. I go to the beach. I didn't grow up on the beach. I grew up in Canada. I started going to the beach. Instead of basketball and baseball and hockey, I'm now watching rugby and cricket and trying to figure out how those things work, because that is the material of life down there. And then I moved from there and I went up and I spent 10 years in the Middle East. And now all of a sudden I'm living in a desert and I learned to embrace dust on everything. But all of a sudden, you know, I'm a massive coffee drinker. That's a shameless plug. If you ever want to motivate me to give you some of my time, tell me you'll pay for my coffee and you can have my time. But I went to the Middle East where, yeah, they have coffee, but you know, they drink a ton of tea. Ugh. I'm sorry. If you're a tea drinker, we have a prayer team. No, tea is okay. But I had to make the choice to drink I don't know how many cups of tea, because that's what they did. And I said, I am here building my life in your culture. And then I came up to Alaska. After 10 years of embracing warmth and desert, I moved to Fairbanks. And now I cross-country ski, and my kids do play hockey, which my Canadian heart loves that. But I embrace it. I don't look, man, I was actually skiing yesterday, cross-country skiing, and I was going, this is beautiful. I don't know if you can beat Fairbanks in the winter on a nice blue sky day. It's gorgeous. It is absolutely gorgeous. But you know what? If you hunker down and go, I'm used to big shopping malls and amusement parks, and that's how I build my life, then maybe you're going to have a hard time building here because we don't have those things. So build your life with local materials. Say, how can I build a life in Fairbanks? Not necessarily just, how can I build the life that I'm used to building somewhere else? How can you build your life here? The second thing we see in this passage is that we need to choose to sow. It says, plant gardens and eat their produce. We have to choose to plant roots in the community. We have to choose to sow and invest into the community. Again, not looking what's next, not looking at something else, not looking with the eyes of complaint saying everything's wrong, but what are you sowing into the community? Because what you want to reap from the community doesn't happen by chance. It doesn't just happen. We reap what we sow. And so if you're sowing complaining, if you're sowing negativity, guess what you're going to reap? Complaining and negativity. If you're sowing, though, a positive attitude, if you're sowing a gracious outlook on life, you're going to reap those things. But even more than that, knowing what we want to sow is knowing how to sow for the city or how to sow into the city. And can I tell you, the greatest way to sow into your city is to pray for your city, to pray for our leaders, to pray for our university, to pray for our economy, to pray for our education system, to pray for our businesses, to pray for summer to come quicker. No, you can pray for that as well. But pray for your city and then get involved. Jump in, participate, invest, put your kids in the schools, join clubs, put your kids in sports teams, tie yourself into the city by planting roots in the city. So that when it comes time to leave, you go, man, it feels like we had to uproot. Yes, because you truly lived here. And here's the thing, when you plant roots, you will bear fruit and you will enjoy what the produce of your life has given you. And so we build our houses, we plant our gardens, and we sow and we invest. And the third thing is choose family. Invest in relationships. Some of you, I hope you maybe get, if you're single, maybe you get to choose a spouse here in Fairbanks. Again, some of you like me, maybe you were fooled by a Fairbanks and outside of Alaska and you were led back here. But invest in your relationships. This isn't just, I mean, it's talking about family, but we're talking about deep connections here. Invest in the relationships in your workplace. Invest in the relationships in your neighborhood. My wife and I have actually been talking about this lately. In our neighborhood, it used to have a lot more kind of neighborhood barbecues and stuff like that, and then COVID just went to everything. Okay, that's the theological term for what happened through COVID, is it just crashed everything, and it created a sense of fear. And so my wife and I have been talking, how do we kickstart again or reignite some of those relationships? What kind of events can we do that will draw people out as that fear begins to lift again? Because we want to be connected to our neighbors. We want to know them. The first step in being a good neighbor is being a known neighbor. The first step in letting people know that you're a good neighbor is letting them know you. And making the time, making the investment, say, how do I know my neighbors? Do I even know their names? Am I praying for them? Choose to connect with people. And here's the thing, I think as well within the city of God, we have to make the choice to connect with one another as well. And this is a great place to practice connecting with people. And so we have life groups for this. And this is a shameless plug for life groups. If you're not in a life group, you need to be in a life group because you need to be connecting with people in the city of God. Because as we connect with people, as we learn to connect with one another, God can change us and make us a good neighbor so that when we connect with those in the city of man, they see us as a good neighbor. And so we want to encourage you to get into life groups, to get connected, to get plugged in, but to invest in relationships. It's too easy sometimes to think, I don't need to invest in relationships. I'm not here that long, or it's too hard, or it's whatever the challenges might be. I want to encourage you. God said to them, give your sons and daughters in marriage, multiply, invest in relationships, grow in the place where you are in your influence through those relationships. And so we want to be good neighbors who know who we're connecting with. And the fourth thing that we need to do here, and I love this part of the passage, is this. We phrase it this way here at True North. Choose to be a thermostat. Choose to be a thermostat, because everything in Alaska is about weather and the temperature. But what we're saying is choose to be the one that sets the tone for the city of man. Choose to be the one that says, this is how I'm going to live regardless of what's going on around me. See, you have a thermostat and you have a thermometer. One of them sets the temperature. One of them simply reflects it. We want to be, we are called to be by God in this passage, people who set the temperature for the city around us. It says this in verse 6. It says, seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare, you will find your welfare. And I think sometimes we think, well, we're the city of God, we're always going to be blessed. But you know what he's actually saying here is, if you will bless the city of man, then you will be blessed. And so we actually, how many of us go, I want God to look out for my welfare. I want him to care for me. I want him to provide for me. I want him to take care of my children. He says, if you do those things for the city, those things will be done for you. And so if we, as the city of God, want God to be for us, we must be for the city. We must let them know that we love them. And this is where, going back to that view that we the city should know we're for them, it doesn't matter what the response is. It doesn't matter if their response is, I like your Jesus, but I don't like your Christians. It doesn't matter if they want to reject us or accept us. We look and say, we will be for you, because the welfare of the city determines the welfare of God's people as well. And so we'll be thermostats, and we'll set the temperature that the city of man will know that the city of God is for them. Amen? Amen. Church, imagine if we all lived this way all the time. Imagine what our city would do if they knew we were good neighbors for them. I truly believe it would open up opportunities to bless our neighbors, to share our faith with our neighbors, to help care for our neighbors. And I truly believe that this is the heart of God, that the city of man comes to know him. And the way the city of man comes to know him is that the city of God is a good neighbor within the city of man. And so, church, I want to pray for us today that we would be able to live like this. Lord, I thank you that we're not the first group of people you're saying to be a good neighbor to, that you said it even through the prophet Jeremiah to the Israelites in the Old Testament. Where you are, where God, you have determined we would be, would you strengthen us and equip us to be good neighbors? Would you help us, Lord, choose to build our lives here, choose to connect and invest in relationships, choose to sow into the city around us, Lord God, and choose to be the ones that say, we'll set the tone for our city by praying and seeking its welfare, that God may bless it. Lord, make us good neighbors. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 I am so excited about the testimonies that are going to come from this series about our church, our people getting out and being good neighbors. So go live this out this week. You know, the reason we're able to be good neighbors and we're able to take this posture of being for a city, I truly believe, is because as believers, we know God is for us. We know that God just doesn't happen to exist while we exist, that he's not against us, and that he's not the same as us, but that he is for us. And if you're here today and you don't know, maybe you've never realized that God is for you, that God wants that relationship with you, but he's been stirring in your heart that desire, you can begin that relationship with him today. And you can begin to live a life knowing that God is for you. And if that's you, whether you're here in person or watching, joining us online, it's as simple as what we call the ABCs here at True North. A is admit. Admit you don't have the relationship. Admit that the sin in your life has caused you to be separated from God. B is just believe that Jesus was sent so that we can be reconciled with God, that we can be back in relationship, that Jesus, by coming to earth, dying on a cross, and being raised again, has made a way for all of us to know that God is for us. And C is confess him as Lord, which just means give your life to him. Say, God, I want you to be for me. If that's you here and you're here today in person or online, would you join me in praying a simple prayer? To just simply begin to let God really be for you in relationship. I'm going to ask everyone in here, would you bow your head and close your eyes? And if that's you today, would you pray this prayer with me? God, I admit the sin in my life has kept me separate from you. But I believe that Jesus, through his death and resurrection, has made a way for me to be in relationship with you again. And today I enter that relationship by confessing Jesus is Lord of my life. Jesus, I give my life to you that I might know God is for me today. Amen.
What a fantastic service. Be sure to stay in touch by following us on social media so you can stay up to date with all that is happening at True North Church.